If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Previously in Mark chapter 6, the Bible informs us about the execution of John the Baptist, how he had his head cut off for the righteousness of God. And then the apostles heard this, and they went and they fetched John the Baptist's body and they buried it. We see earlier in chapter 6 about the unbelief in Nazareth. The disciples were with Jesus in Jesus' own hometown. And they witnessed how the family of Jesus had nothing to do with Jesus. They said, hey, this is just a carpenter's son. He's a nobody. Earlier in chapter 6, we see how the apostles preached and how they healed in the name of Jesus Christ. From the high times to low times, good times to bad times, we see it all in chapter 6. We see the feeding of the 5,000 to just men, let alone women and children, just prior to this passage. These disciples saw it all. Can you imagine the wild ride? It's not much unlike our lives. Good day one day, the next day, not so good. Like I say, every day is a good day. Some are better than others. And some aren't as good as others. But the disciples have witnessed the ups and downs, the ebbs and tides, the highs and the lows of being a people of God. If we're not careful with our own lives, we can put our eyes on events, circumstances, scenarios, situations, and get our eyes off Jesus Christ. Sometimes it may seem easier just to give up. But this morning we're going to learn a little bit about commitment. Commitment. Don't give up, but stay committed. Another word might be persistent. Commitment, the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, or an activity. Synonyms of commitment: dedication, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness. Stay committed unto Jesus Christ. Stay committed unto the life that He allows us to live. Granted, some days are not going to be as good as some other days, but that doesn't mean we should not be committed. That does not mean we shouldn't stay persistent in this life, glorifying our Father in heaven. If you would please turn to verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. It's just after Jesus had performed the supernatural miracle of turning 5 loaves and two fishes into the feeding of 5,000 of just men, let alone women and children. A supernatural event. And then we come to verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, like a haunted sea, a haunted house. Superstitious when it came to spirits. But they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, and beyond measure, and wondered. for they considered not the miracle of loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you to be with this message this morning. We ask you to be with your message this morning. Please, God, forgive me of my sins and get me out of the way. To God, we thank you for always being near, for always being here, and forgive us, Lord, for not calling upon you. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, shedding your blood as the perfect sacrifice. Dear God, I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know that heaven is their home, but perhaps this morning they might come to know you as Savior, trusting you to take away and wash away all their sins, asking you to give them eternal life. I pray for those of us who know you as Savior, Lord, that you help us stay committed. Stay committed and not put you on the back burner. Stay committed and give you preeminence in our lives. Dear God, we thank you for loving us. We ask these things and we praise your holy name. Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to look at the disciples first, then we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples first, here in verse 45, it says, "And straightway he constrained them." This is their instruction by Jesus Christ. Constrain means to compel or give an order, and he gave the order to get into the ship. And he sent them away, and departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. We see their instruction in verse 45, and in verse 47 we see their position. Their position in the middle of the sea, far from the bank. Anyone who's been in a boat on the south side of Canyon Ferry, we're going to see here pretty quick how the winds were contrary to them. But the wind blows a little bit, and you stay out just a little bit longer, just for that one more bite. And all of a sudden, the wind comes up, and the waves come up, and holy moly. You're asking yourself this question. Why is this happening to me? Or whether, what was I thinking? What in the world was I thinking? Just waiting one little bit, not using good judgment. What in the world was I thinking? So here these people, his disciples, are in the middle of the ship, in the middle of the sea, in the ship, after they were given their instruction. And they're asking themselves, what were we thinking? Verse 47, when the even was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, he alone on the land. Verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing. We see their instruction, their position, now their exertion, their toiling. In other words, their torture, their pain, their toiling and rowing, they're working hard. My dad, when we were kids, he always had this saying that so-and-so's got one oar out of the water. Did your parents say that? Got one oar just going in circles. Well, these disciples were in a ship in the middle of the sea, and they're toiling, they're in rowing. And they're rowing hard. They're working hard. And it seems like they have more than one oar out of the water. They're not making very much headway. And the wind was contrary to them. The wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Has anybody here worked a night shift? Has anybody worked night shift for more than 15 years? Oh, and you know, after about 3 o'clock, things change. After about 3 o'clock, our perceptions change. After 3 o'clock, we get this brick wall in front of our face, and we're living in Never Never Land. After 3 o'clock, our lives become fuzzy. After 3 o'clock, things don't look the same they did. After 3 o'clock, we get a little on edge. After 3 o'clock, our judgment is clouded. After 3 o'clock, I mean, the second hand tick, 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 tick all night, but after 3 o'clock, that second hand does not tick. It's stationary. And after about 5 minutes, that second hand
tick.
And the hands of the clock don't move. Things change at the fourth watch. Can you imagine them rowing and rowing and rowing? And you got Matthew, who wasn't a fisherman and used to rowing, but he's put in this position. He was a tax collector, and now he's got blisters on his hands because his hands are soft compared to the other fishermen that were used to rowing, and he really doesn't know what to do, but he's rowing and rowing, and he's about ready to give up along with the rest of them. The wind's contrary. The waves are rushing up. It's dark. It's at the fourth watch of the night. Not only are they asking, what were we thinking? But they're asking the same question that a lot of us ask many times when we get in a predicament, when we're toiling and rowing and toiling and working hard at this life, and we're tired and we're sick, and we're saying and we're asking God, why is this happening to me? And then their exclamation. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. Why? Because they were troubled in verse 50. They were tired of rowing, doing the best they could in the middle of the sea, in a boat, and it's dark. The wind's contrary to them. They cried out unto Jesus Christ. And what is their reaction after Jesus comes to them? And he went unto them, verse 51, into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Why in the world? And they're no different than we are. We call unto God, he gets us out of a pickle, and we're amazed. We shouldn't be amazed. He's done this many times before. He just did a miracle with the loaves. They didn't know what they were going to do with feed them people. And yet they were amazed. Why does it say they were amazed? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They did not comprehend the power of God Almighty. Just recently, that prior day, or earlier than that, they forgot. In Mark chapter 4, just two chapters ago, how Jesus was in the ship itself, in the hinder part, and the storm, and they woke him up and they asked him, what are we going to do? And he says, peace be still. How is it, he says, that you have no faith? And when the waters were calmed, they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Oh my goodness, they were hardened of heart. Just like we are. We get into pickles in our lives. We're all alone. We ask, why is this happening to me? And we go and we look for reasons. We look for answers. We look for counsel. We try to reason among ourselves. But we refuse to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out unto him. Why? Is it because of pride? Yeah, hardness of heart. Is it because we failed to realize the miracles of Jesus Christ in our lives prior? Yes, we are forgetful of Almighty God. And we're forgetful how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. We've got hardness of heart. Now we'll look at Jesus Christ. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent them away. And when he had sent them away, he departed in a mountain to pray. Jesus Christ knows. Nothing occurs to him. He doesn't all of a sudden, oh my goodness, Brother Russ has got a problem. Where have I been all this time? What am I going to do? He knows. He knows each and every one of us. He's got the hairs numbered on our head. He knows what is going on in our lives. Not only does he know, but look at verse 48. And he saw them. He knows and he sees what's going on in our lives. verse 48, and he saw them toiling in the rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. So not only does Jesus Christ know, but he sees, and he comes. And he come to them in the fourth watch of the night. When those of us who are old enough to know that old song, the darkest just before the dawn, that's the fourth watch, is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Hey, the sun's it's coming up, and it may be awful dark, but the song goes, the darkest hours just before the dawn. The narrow way leads home. Lay down your soul at Jesus' feet. For the darkest hour is just before the dawn, but Jesus Christ knows, he sees, he cares, and he's going to come to us at the fourth watch, just when we need him. And he says he would have passed by. Look at verse 48. Walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. Why would he want to pass? Why would he pass by them? Because he's waiting. He's wanting them to call out to him. Hey, we're in so desperate need of Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we refuse to accept it. But sometimes he waits so that we call upon him, so we can establish that dependent relationship on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. He knows, he sees, he comes, and look at verse 50, and he comforts. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. To be of good cheer is to have courage. In those dark hours, in times of toiling, we need courage. We need courage to stay committed unto him. We need courage. We need to be encouraged. Because there are times in our life when we do want to quit. When we say it's not worth it anymore. When we say life isn't fair. Nobody else knows what I'm going through, and no one else will. It's not fair. And we need to have that encouragement to be encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Because Jesus is near. We may not recognize him in times of trouble. We may not recognize him when we're toiling. But Jesus Christ is near. Jacob, running for his life from his brother Esau, has a dream and he's encouraged. It says in Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Hey, Jesus is near. Mary Magdalene at the resurrection of Christ, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back because she didn't recognize Christ, remember? She thought he was a gardener. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. Sometimes we're toiling. Sometimes we're rowing. We're working so hard. We're so focused on what we're doing, how we're doing, what we should do. Look at the storm, the wind, it's contrary. And we fail to realize that Jesus Christ is here and Jesus Christ is near and he cares about us. Verse 51, and he went up unto them into the ship and the wind ceased and they were sore amazed in themselves. Jesus Christ is with us. Then he cares. Why in the world should we keep rowing? This life is tough. Boy, we get saved, we've got Christ as our Savior. The bowl of cherries, no, it's not. This thing called life is still here. Why in the world should we keep rowing? Number one, those in the ship are watching to see if we're going to quit. Are we going to quit? We got people watching us. Especially in this thing called Christianity, the winds are contrary. to Christianity. I see we're talking about the satanic worship after school. The school in it's out of Bellingham, Washington, they have voted, the school board has voted, that they will indeed allow the after school Satan club. The winds are contrary to us. The winds are contrary to the people of God. The winds are contrary to the Word of God. It's not going to get any better. Then why in the world should we keep rowing? Because people are looking at us. We're a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our co-workers are watching us. Our parents are watching us. Are we going to quit? Or are we going to stick it out? Those in the ship are watching to see if we're going to quit Christianity. Those in the ship are going to see if we're going to quit our marriage. Why keep rowing? Before I got married, and I don't mean to be funny, but I look at this woman, Lori, I say, wow, I could never get angry with her. Then you get married. It ain't easy. But you keep rowing. It's based on love. It's based on commitment. There are people watching. You can't fool kids or dogs. Your kids are watching. They're looking to see if you're going to quit. They know what's going on. Hey, kids got the biggest ears. And they know exactly what's going on, and they're waiting and looking to see if you're going to quit. Don't quit rowing. Keep rowing when it comes to Christianity. Keep rowing when it comes to faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep rowing when it comes to marriage, because your kids are watching. Keep rowing when it comes to marriage, because your friends are watching. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Keep rowing. But it's not fair. Keep rowing. But I don't understand. Keep rowing, wives. Submit yourselves unto your husband. I may be stepping on toes, but I really sincere believe this, that in the last 40 years, women have gotten more headstrong and taken assertiveness training. They go to work and they get assertiveness training. And by golly, I don't have to take any guff off my coworkers. And when I come, I'm not going to take any guff off of my husband, because I'm going to learn to be assertive and I'm going to stick up for myself. And come on, you're already cocked and primed to have a fight. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to submit. Wives, here's a secret. If you submit to your husband, things will go a lot better. Not because your husband gets his way, but because then your husband is more spend more time loving you than arguing with you. Your husband will have more time to cherish you and your abilities and who you are. And the woman that God gave him as a husband, than to always be on the defense. Your marriage will go better, but you got to keep rowing. Keep doing what the Word of God says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Is it hard to love our wives sometimes? It shouldn't be. I'll put it that way. It shouldn't be. But we're guilty. We let our flesh get in the way. We let our pride get in the way. We got to keep rowing. Because there are people in the ship that are watching. What about the families? The month of October is going to be sermons on marriage and family. What about our families? What about our kids? And see, I don't want to be an armchair quarterback because I don't have kids, but I do know what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that we discipline our kids. We train up our kids. And it may be contrary to the world. And the kids may be getting other stuff from school. But I say unto you, keep rowing and don't give up. Keep rowing. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And he may depart from it when he's 17 or 18, but the Bible promises when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Keep rowing. Why should we keep rowing? Because those in the ship are watching to see if we're going to quit. And look at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. Hello, there's another side. That's why we should keep rowing. There's another side. This is not it. We're not stuck in the middle of the sea with a contrary wind. There is another side. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And I love this part. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is another side. We need to keep rowing because people are watching us, and we need to keep rowing because there is another side. And the third reason we need to keep rowing, there's help on the way. There is help on the way. For they all saw him when we were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Keep rowing. There's help on the way. We're going to have an invitation. In the beginning of the sermon, we said we're getting eyes on events and people and different things and not on Jesus Christ. Because we forget. Because we're hardened of heart. And we fail to consider what Christ has done in the past. Sometimes it's easier to give up in life. Please don't quit. Stay committed. Stay committed. Keep rowing. It's worth it. There's some of us who are tired today. Tired of rowing. We've rowed for days, we've rowed for weeks, we have rowed for years, and it doesn't seem to get any better. Keep rowing. If you're about ready to hang it up, keep rowing. Cry out to Jesus. He knows, he sees, he cares. Keep rowing. Help is on the way. Let's stand. Like to heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask this question so we can pray for you. How many here are in the middle of rowing right now and are working hard? There's hands all over. We're all in the same boat. This thing called life has got us sometimes. You can put your hands down. How many of you here maybe don't know Christ as Savior and are questioning, say, you know what, I need to know Christ as my Savior. I need to have Jesus Christ in my boat. Would you raise your hand this morning? Say, please pray for me. I want to know, but I'm just not there yet. Would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, first of all, please forgive us of our sins. Please forgive us, Lord, of forgetting who you are and what you've done in our life. Dear God, forgive us for not being grateful. Dear God, please, we ask you today, give us an extra dose of grace, Lord, to help us keep rowing, that we might be encouraged and not afraid, but know that you're near and that you see and that you care. Dear God, I ask to help us at Liberty Baptist Church here this morning to know how much you love us how much you care about us. Lord, help us stay committed to whatever it might be. Help us, Lord, to keep rowing. We ask these things and we praise your holy name. And Lord, we do desperately need you in our lives. We ask these things in Christ. Amen.
Page 17.
Page 17. Thank you, everybody. Darius, if you'll go back there. And Brother Josh, if you go back with Darius, that'd be great. We're going to have a baptism this morning. And so I'll ask Brother Charles Pierce if he'd close us in prayer. And if you'd be seated after Charles closes us in prayer. And we'll be back out in about 4.5 minutes. So thank you so much.
Amen. Ms. Kayla probably play a few more verses, and then they should be out soon.